You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Allison Dunn, CEO and executive coach at Deliberate Directions. Allison, how are you doing today?
I am great, James. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing very well. It is so awesome to have you on the show because every once in a while, I come across people that just kind of make me feel inadequate. I mean that in a good way. And you got a lot going on with your coaching practice.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. Yes, we have a lot going on.
So how about you tell us, me and listeners and all that jazz, what is Deliberate Directions?
Sure. We are a business and executive coaching company based out of Boise, Idaho. Mm-hmm. We work with clients all across the United States and in all different industries and sectors. So I'd say my three key pillars are leadership development, business and executive coaching, and employee engagement.
Oh, nice. Those are big ones. And
yeah,
necessary. Yeah. Awesome. And how long have you been doing this?
I opened the practice in 2013, so we're well past our five-year mark heading into 6 years.
Yay! You made the hump, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you have a crew. You have a whole team, it looks like, right?
I do. It's a small team of experts that work with me here, and having a good team, as you know, is critical. So I feel blessed.
It is. It is. Very cool. So now you mentioned off the air, I guess, that you had been in radio for a little while, so you understand my technical improwess, I guess.
I do. Yes, radio can be so much fun. So I appreciate joining you here today on the radio.
Sure. So how did you get into coaching?
It is kind of a long story, and I'll give you the quick summarized version of it. After running a number of businesses based out of New Hampshire and having had several successful businesses, my husband and I decided to leave our local community of Concord, New Hampshire, and move all the way across the country to Boise, Idaho.
Holy cow.
To be closer to some of our children.
All right.
And so it gave me an opportunity to completely kind of rethink what it is that I would do if I opened my own business.
Sure.
And thus, here is Deliberate Directions.
So
that's how it happened.
Awesome. So moving across the country, that's one thing. Starting a new business right after you do that, that's a total another thing. And then, can you tell us about some of the businesses that you had before you started?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I ran an architectural firm for about 8 years. And from that firm, I ended up basically joining an engineering firm, which we converted to like an employee-owned firm. So I ran, I was part of the leadership executive team for that for 10 years. And then I was born and raised basically inside of a family business, which truly is a family business from every aspect. And so growing up in it and then coming back after college and then leaving and doing something else for 20 years, I went back to my family business, which is a manufacturing company based in Concord and New Hampshire.
Okay.
And basically left the family business to move across the country and start up a new business.
Wow. So these other businesses, the architecture one, engineering one, did you end up selling those or closing those? Or what did you end up doing or just walking away maybe?
Nope. Well, it's interesting. So we ended up selling the architectural firm. The primary principal of the firm basically ended up taking a sabbatical after a five-year run of like gigantic success and moved to Italy, and we ended up actually selling off our book of business and our projects to another local architect there.
Oh, wow.
The engineer, so it essentially, in essence, closed its doors, and they got acquired and merged into another architectural firm.
Sure.
our engineering firm, my shares were bought out. So at the time that I ended up going back to my family's business, my shares basically went into an investment account, and I just got paid out on those shares, I guess about 2 years ago or so, which was a nice little perk 5 years later.
Sure.
And then my family's business is still being successfully run by my father and several other family members.
Oh, wow.
So that continues on, and I invested in basically creating a brand here in the Boise market and kind of launched something brand new off the ground on its own. And I almost want to take a little bit of a step back because I can't completely own the actual name of the company. It's something that I reopened that was originally founded in the late 90s by my first mentor and also happens to be my husband's father who passed. So when we moved to Boise, I reopened the Deliberate Directions name for under a new kind of business enterprise than what it was.
Okay. So you said so much there in the past few sentences.
I know.
So your father-in-law was your mentor, is that right?
Yeah, from high school. Yes.
He was wow. Okay.
At a preparatory school, and he took a chance on me, and definitely a significant influence in the path of where I am today, for sure.
So were you in high school in New Hampshire?
I was, yes.
Okay. And so, in the Deliberate Direction, so did you move that essentially or took that name or something of that nature from?
No. The year I graduated high school, mm-hmm. My mentor and his family moved to Sandpoint, Idaho.
Okay.
And actually opened up a awesome, cool school up in northern Idaho. And in the late 90s, he opened Deliberate Directions.
Okay.
So when we moved to Boise, I kind of acquired the name, reopened the business, and set it up under shop under me.
So I'm getting the impression that just stars aligned for you guys ending up in Idaho. Is that right?
It's kismet, or I don't know. It's funny how life leads you in a certain path.
Sure.
And I am where I am supposed to be. I'm
wow. That. Super cool. Super cool. Yeah. So was Deliberate Directions business coaching before and they just shut it down, or what happened there?
So he did do a style of coaching and consulting.
Okay.
Robert was a resource to executives.
Okay.
That had a challenge with their teens, so runaways and whatnot.
Mm.
And as you know, when you have challenges at home, especially with children that you're raising, that it impacts the business in a significant way.
Definitely.
So he basically, I'd say he was a parenting and child relationship coach, which is an interesting arena in all itself.
Yeah.
I'm
just thinking of marketing that either pre-internet or even during the beginnings of the internet, right? That's it's a different story
right
now.
Yeah.
Can launch anything fairly easily, but back then it wasn't. You still had yellow pages and newspapers and things like that.
Exactly. And he was pretty nationally recognized for it. He was what I would say is the original founder of like the parenting blueprint, how to, you know, learn to have a relationship with, you know, your teens.
Wow.
So he's super, yeah. And he was obviously, you know, being a great mentor coming into my life as a teen, who's very talented at connecting with young minds and hearts.
Sure.
And understanding them.
Holy cow. That is a lot going on. So is it safe to assume that you do not do the teen coaching or parent coaching?
That is correct. I usually work with mostly, certainly adults and adult entrepreneurs and even seasoned entrepreneurs. But I do hope in his name to be launching some youth mentorship, leadership type programs, which I'm pretty excited about. But that's not this year.
Gotcha.
That's something we're putting in the works for 2020.
Nice. That's super cool.
Yeah.
So when you moved over to Idaho, did you look him up, or did you happen to run into him at a coffee shop or something like that? Or how did you guys connect?
Oh, that's okay. So I guess I didn't quite connect the dots entirely. So
They're close though, so it's
in
all good.
in when I was in high school, I dated his son.
Okay.
And we both stayed connected throughout the years. I stayed connected to my mentor, and my now husband stayed connected to my father. And so through our families, we were connected after 20 years. So we were high school sweethearts, and then basically re-engaged, and got married in 2013.
Wow.
So
So you
yeah,
moved,
that high
got
school sweetheart
married.
story.
You
Yes.
moved, got married, and started a business all in 1 year. Is that right?
I did, and I became an empty nester of my own kiddo. So sent him off to college.
Nice.
Yeah. And so it
Never
has those fun
bored. That's
things.
fantastic. Never bored. It's interesting how many people that I've interviewed that own businesses that they decided to start a business at the same time some monumental or multiple monumental things were happening, right? Getting married, getting divorced, having kids, whatever.
Right.
That it's interesting. It's
Absolutely.
just
They
like,
say all the stressful things, right, and to do them all at once.
yeah, the year of change. That's
It
cool.
was pretty traumatic, and yet it does make a great part of the story, and a ton of energy that goes into it.
Sure.
So,
That is
yeah.
super cool. So, from the coaching standpoint, how did you decide that you wanted to be a coach versus just starting another engineering firm or branching out the manufacturing thing or doing something in
Right.
radio, totally different, right?
You know, when you have finally kind of a moment where you have some silence around you. So I've been employed, since I was feel like two, in a family business in some sort. Like, so never had any
Sure.
summers off. In our move across the country, I had intended to go from my family's manufacturing business into a local business here in the Boise market, and had been flown out for interviews and just pending job offers while we were moving cross country.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, at the basically at the time we'd done the move, the government shut down. And I don't know if you remember that. That was the fall of 2013. I had never experienced anything like that in my lifetime, but the whole market, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, like things got really, really quiet with the government shutting down. And so I unpacked all my boxes and put all of my things in its rightful place. And I just didn't even know what to do with myself. So a week went by, 2 weeks went by, and I said, like the white space of saying, like, well, if I could do anything, like I don't need to get a job. What would I want to do if I didn't, if I wanted to do something?
Sure.
And I just recognized I've always been a coach. It's not a term I would have ever used at the time, because in back east, they're really coaching's not really an industry.
Okay.
I'd say we call ourselves consultants.
Sure.
And so, at basically once I had some white space around me, that's kind of the path I took. So I reopened and launched Deliberate Directions, and coaching has been a clearly a good fit for my style, and I've been very well received in the market, which has been
Nice.
great.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears into the whole marketing aspect because you decide, okay,
Sure.
we're in Idaho, we're gonna start this thing up. We got Deliberate Directions, which is a cool name. Now you got your laptop in front of you, something like that, so to speak, and all you need are
Yes.
clients. What's the next step? How do you market something like this?
That's right. So I'm sure you understand this because you must have started your coaching practice from nothing, I assume, at
I
some,
did. I
in the
did.
beginning. So I would say I was someone who just, I mean, I'm pretty outgoing. The only, people I knew in Boise were our two daughters and my husband.
Sure.
And massive action would be like an understatement of
Okay.
kind of what I underwent. There's a point in time, I'd say about 3 or 4 months ago, they went back and looked at my original marketing plan. And so I coach people. You have to have 10 strategies, to really have, a full-fledged business.
Sure.
And I had like 45 different strategies that I was working at any
45.
given one time.
Sure.
I'm literally not joking when I say that.
Wow.
So everything and anything you could possibly think of that would get me in front of people who might be like-minded. And for me, I'm a super social butterfly anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it wasn't about getting business. It was just getting a chance to meet people and understand what the market needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so any way I could do that was what I spent my time doing.
Sure. So Boise, Idaho, I know the town in name only. I don't know much about it size-wise or anything like that. So is it a decent-sized town or city, or is it?
Boise in the greater Treasure Valley. So I'd say, it's a pretty condensed area. We have 750,000 people kind of in the greater Treasure Valley, which I'd say is maybe about 45 miles. The circumference is kind of the general gist, I would say.
Okay.
And it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country.
Wow. And what do they attribute that to?
Lifestyle and I'd say weather.
Weather.
We live in just a very mild climate. We've got four seasons, but none of them are dramatic. And I'd hate to pipe it up too much more because we have so much growth happening.
You can totally pipe it up because we're in Madison. We just had 90-some degrees a couple days ago. We've had 20 below a few months ago. And everybody that lives here at one point in time has thought about moving.
Well, we have the perfect trifecta of weather, of low humidity. You've got the mountains, you've got the cities, you've got the river. The only thing we're missing is the ocean. So.
Oh, nice. Well, that sounds all right.
Yeah.
That sounds all right. Yeah. Cool. So did you decide initially that you were going to market nationally, or did you figure you're going to start out in Boise or in and around Boise and it just blossomed from there?
So my focus definitely started in Boise, and that's where certainly like my first few years of clients, were based out of. And then it's just funny how you get, obviously working with clients that have branches outside of Boise, and then my ties back to New England brought me all the way, to the East Coast. And so I have being a specialist in certain things has allowed me to go, beyond my city, which I love. I love to travel and I'm always open to that, and nurturing a network that's just bigger than my local market.
Sure.
I say my outside of Boise market's three times larger than my local Idaho market.
Very cool.
So, and trying to maintain that balance too, because I like the excitement of helping people beyond my community, but I'm definitely very community centric.
Sure. Sure. Well, that makes sense. The majority of the coaching that you do then, I imagine, is remote? Is it just over the phone, Skype, something like that?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
My face-to-face is, I'd say it's about 50-50, if that's fair. So
sure.
50% is through, calls like this or at like a Zoom, Skype, and then 50% of it is in face-to-face.
Gotcha. Do you have a preference?
I am someone who picks up on energy a lot. So
mm-hmm.
for me, having the opportunity to really see someone and pick up on the cues that they give beyond what they're saying.
Sure.
So I'd always choose face-to-face first, but when you remove the ability to see someone, it is amazing what you can hear with what someone just says,
That's completely fair, but I totally agree with you. I love over-the-phone stuff and all that jazz is cool. I feel like you can get a lot of work done, but in person, there's just no match for it. There's the whole body language thing, and you get just the facial expressions, and totally agree.
Yeah.
So I want to steal a little bit of information from you, if you don't mind. And this is something that I've reached out to some of my clients with another business that I have that are in, we'll call it the session service world, so whether they're psychologists or massage therapists or just acupuncturist, stuff like this. One of the hardest problems or challenges that I have, the biggest challenges I should say, outside of employees, that's a whole nother realm, is when you get talking with someone and you're in, let's say, a 60-minute session or a 90-minute session or something like that, and with some people, it just takes a while to get them going. They got a wall up and you have to work to take that down. And by that time, a lot of times, time's up. So I've made the mistake, I call it a a mistake of, I've had sessions that have gone 3 hours. I'm like, there's no way that you can make money doing a 3 hour session routinely.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not, I wouldn't, like, that's not good. We just end up talking a lot. We get a lot of stuff done, but I'm like, it's 3 hours. So how do you end a session or bring down a session? You know what I mean?
Sure. So I have a couple of things that I do that I think help that.
Okay.
One is when I start working with someone, so it's the buildup. It's the faster you can get going, mm-hmm. the quicker they start to see results, the more that you can actually add value. So when I start with a client or a team, I always plan for a larger dedicated session where I really get to dive deep into understanding, you know, if their team's aligned, where they're coming from, what's important to them personally. So I'd say, you know, having a really, it is rather intensive. I'm sure they probably feel sometimes like they're on the, they're being drilled, and they're sort of like, what does this have to do with my business? But, you know, the more I understand what makes up, what drives someone, what their why is, and what their long-term goals are, the faster I can help them get there. And identify what they're doing that's not helping them get there.
Mm-hmm.
So a larger kind of an initial session, then the way that I work my packages is it really is time-driven. So I dedicate certain allotments of time, and I have a super structured session. Like the session itself, content, can go all over the place, but I do manage that time. So if I recognize that we're going into something that's going to be deeper,
mm-hmm.
I still have to end on time, but I'm happy to give them more time over the phone later or give them something to think about or read and then, you know, check in with them outside of it. So I've never had a session run 3 hours like scheduled.
You're a better person than me. I wish that it would go that long, but yeah, sometimes just get rolling and whatever. Life goes on.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how. I think in the positioning of it, I can understand how, like in a very, I don't know, I'm going to use the word drama or very highly emotional,
mm-hmm.
I might get drawn into trying to, you know, help and solve and overcome. But I hope that's helpful.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've had, so this is just me personally. Like I've had more than one, like it wasn't just one, it was too many to count,
right.
3+ hour sessions where,
wow.
where I come from the background of being I used to be a mechanic years ago. And so I'm always trying to fix something. And sometimes like when you're working on a car, you're going to fix the brakes or something like that. And you get the brakes apart and you're like, oh, the wheel bearings are shot and we already have it apart. Let's just take care of it now. And, oh, hey, your struts, you know, we already got it apart. Let's just knock that out. And pretty soon what was going to be a 1 or 2 hour brake fix is now an all day. Let's just rebuild the entire front end because you're in there. Right. And so I'm just fixing. But the challenge, of course, as you know, and anybody that's either been in a coaching session or done coaching, is that you're supplying so much information for people that they can't possibly do what you're or respond to what you're telling them to do. They're all you rah rah at the moment. But in the end, I just end up giving too much information is what it comes down to.
So that's an interesting element. So I think one of my go-tos is, you know, great. That's, you know, that's something that obviously, are you ready to tackle that now? Is that something you can dedicate to doing, you know, in the next week or two, but before our next session, here are the tools you need. That's your homework.
Mm-hmm.
And I just assign it.
Sure.
And then, you know, if you get in there and you're struggling, you know, obviously reach back out, but, you know, here's the tool you need, as opposed to giving them 20 tools.
Because
20 tools is not going to help someone.
No,
not ready
no.
For.
No, I can tell from my students, you give them 3 and that's arguably too many.
And 3 is probably too many, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it depends on the person. So totally cool.
True.
Do you have a specific industry that you really love working with or cater to or have excellent knowledge in or something of that nature?
So I'm going to say yes and no to that.
Okay.
I was working with my SEO guy and he asked that exact same question, like, you know, what's your niche? And I'm like, well, I work with like over 50 different industries, if you're really to kind of classify and write them down. What I will say is I think my specialty is a pretty cool balance between both service and product-based, and that kind of almost covers everything. So that's why
that I think does. I have
to connect with so many different industries and sectors.
Sure.
For me, my favorite type of client is someone who knows that they don't know everything,
okay,
knows that they've done everything they already know how to do,
mm-hmm.
and now is ready for some guidance and some direction.
Sure.
And sort of as a sponge. So I like a sponge.
Do you feel like...
ready to really...
Sure. Do you feel like you have to go out and find people, or do people find you when they decide or realize that they need a little bit of help?
I think it's still a combination. And, you know, I feel really lucky that most of my business is inbound at this point. And I'm rarely doing, and I do 10% of my 45 original strategies.
Sure.
That I did when I started my business. I think my marketing and my messaging and my communication does draw the right person to me.
Sure. Sure. Very cool. So
I love. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. The majority, it looks like you do executive coaching as well as the business coaching. So what is
correct.
The, do you do more executive or more business with business owners type thing, or do you have a favorite?
It's a combo. So my favorite, if I were being honest, is
best way here.
I love having access and being able to work with an entire team.
Okay.
Whether I'm working with just an executive who's not the owner, but being able to, like, if I pour everything just into one person, I'm reliant on them taking that back and then being able to relay it.
Hugely.
So the more people I can positively impact through the same message at the same time, like, I feel more successful that way.
Oh, super cool. I like that. I like that. I want to shift gears a little bit into pricing.
Sure.
Now, without talking numbers, I imagine that the pricing that you initially had 5 years ago over the course of time, or 6 years ago, I should say, over the course of time has probably changed, right? The packages you offer and all that jazz.
Dramatically.
Can you tell us a little?
Dramatically.
Like, every business owner has had this thing, right? I'm still having this thing.
Yeah.
With all of my businesses. It's just pricing is a thing. So can you tell us about some of the things that you've learned about pricing?
Sure. I think pricing is really the level of confidence that you have in being able to provide the value that you're asking for. And, you know, it's probably the first thing that I work with in almost all of my businesses is, are they charging the right amount?
Sure.
For the value that they're given? And sometimes I say, you need more value in this.
Right.
And other times it's like, you're providing so much value, why aren't you charging for it?
Sure.
So, you know, my practice was no different. When I came to the market, I had no idea what other coaches were charging. And
sure.
I'd get some people who were like, oh, are you serious? And other people were like, oh, that's it?
Sure. Sure. We want more. Oh, that's it.
So, so I think, you know, I did test and measure. So, like, I would tell anyone, like, you know, raise your, you know, start with a price, and if people are buying, then it's time to raise your prices, right?
Yes. Yep.
If you consistently can close and people are like, oh, okay, great, you know, tell me where to sign.
Sure.
And so I wouldn't say I escalated my prices, but I've always, like, I consistently every 6 months go, like, okay, I've met with 18 people and 16 of them bought.
Sure.
I probably can charge more now.
Yeah, that's quite the close ratio. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's not all quarters are that way, but I do track I'm a good balance between marketing and finance. So I'm very much metric driven to know what that is. And
sure.
So I just say, you know, if I've had over a 70% close ratio, it's time to raise my prices by, you know, another 100 at every level that I work on.
Right. So. Right. Nice. That's very cool. So are you, let's shift into location, stuff like that. Do you have an office, or does your team work remotely?
I have an office. We have a beautiful spot down in downtown Boise that's just on the outskirts. It's sort of the up and coming area where we have free parking, which is great.
Nice.
My goal was to have a coaching and training center, and it was sort of, you know, like my 5-year goal when I first opened the business. So I worked out of my car and coffee shop for about 18 months.
Sure.
And then I upgraded myself to. Are you familiar with what I'm saying when I say Regis?
Yeah, definitely.
Like Regis office spaces. And so they have, lots of businesses inside of a Regis space. So I bought myself an office there, leased, and I committed to, I think, 3 months at a time because I didn't know if I could afford it, which is a joke.
Sure.
So 18 months later, I'd outgrown that space and needed to add someone, but I couldn't afford the price that Regis was charging to have two beautiful offices.
Sure.
So I moved to my third location, and now we're in, I'd like to say this is our forever home. So we have a beautiful coaching, training, co-working space. I've got four office spaces, a front reception, collaboration space, and a training room. Which is
great. Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you got a nice office set up.
We do. We're very, very lucky. And I feel like it's much like the stars aligning for where I am today. Mm-hmm. I looked at the space 28 months before I actually signed on the dotted line.
Wow.
And it waited for me. Yep. It was the remaining unfinished space inside of a beautiful brand new building. I first walked in and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. It was a dirt floor. I could see the vision, but it was more than I could afford.
Sure.
And it broke my heart. Like, I can't. Like, that's not realistic.
Right.
And 2 years later, when I was back out in the market after my third office, I was like, is that space still available? And it was.
So nice.
I did it.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as coaches go, is it you, the coach, and then everybody else is more or less support? Or do you have additional coaches with you?
So I have, I do have a coach that specializes in medical doctor's office. She's still a current doctor. So I don't want to say former. That's incorrect.
Sure.
She owns a practice, an eye doctor practice. So
that is
definitely like her zone of genius.
Sure.
So we have a gigantic healthcare medical office presence here in Boise, and that's her area of expertise. So I've got myself, her as a coach, Jennifer, and then I have a web SEO guy, and then I've got a full client coach support coordinator who does, she's a rock star on all of our social media. And other than that, I would be remiss if I didn't say my husband, who is he has a full-time job, but he also is my logistics contracts guy.
Logistics contracts guy. Okay.
He reads the details, so I stay out of trouble.
Sure.
Seriously.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
It was interesting, the eye doctor woman that you have, the coach, the medical coach.
Yes.
That's got to be a gold mine, because I imagine something very focused, very niche. And she's actually got a practice that she has real world experience there. That's got to be phenomenal.
She absolutely has a ton of credibility. Yes.
Yeah.
She's.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and also someone that I've had the opportunity to coach for several years. So she coaches exactly the way she's been coached.
Oh, very cool.
So it's been a kind of a client transition. It's been super fun.
Sure. Nice. So that leads me to, I guess you're just perfect at putting up segues here for me. Easy pitch here. So coaching the way you do, there's a lot of coaches that I run into that have, they just buy into a franchise of whatever, and they get that curriculum and just kind of drink that Kool-Aid more or less. And there's other coaches, I guess like myself, that just come up with their own and run with that. Where do you fit? Have you bought into anything, or did you make up all your own?
It's such a great question. So I did buy a franchise.
Okay.
And I have successfully completed my franchise application. And in addition to that, so that's my original certifying agency as far as like, you know, being a certified coach.
Sure.
Then I've also done additional licensures under other accrediting agencies. And kind of leadership specialty stuff. So I do create my own curriculum, and mm-hmm. I am an avid, you know, I'm sure as you are, a sponge for anything business and self-development.
Constant, to a fault, yeah.
And then I have all the tools that made my other businesses successful. So I've got a great toolbox that is a blend of a whole bunch of different things.
Okay.
And I really admire people like you who did get out of the gate, you know, just start and create your own. I didn't have the patience to get started.
Oh, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Having some assets. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say that I did it right or wrong. Maybe it was just stubbornness.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It was, it's one of those, my wife's a teacher, so she helped me lay down some curriculum, or at least even to know what the word curriculum meant. It's so interesting, I guess, and you probably see this in your sessions. You're talking with someone, just especially an introductory session, and then, like, for an example, I had someone that we're talking about her business and all this stuff, and she's just starting to crack a little bit. And I was like, what is going on here? And then over the next few minutes, she tells me that she's getting a divorce. And I'm like, I don't think this is in any of the curriculum that the other places have. So we just have to navigate that, right?
Right. And sometimes I recognize that I am not a therapist. I'm not qualified.
Sure.
To help with certain things, and just to recognize, like, when a psychologist or a therapist is needed versus a coach.
Yeah.
But I truly believe we bring our whole person to work. Mm-hmm. And our whole person sometimes has personal things that, you know, we, as coaches, we get to help them overcome faster.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
So.
I have employees all the time that I have to help with that. But that's we all do. It's all good, right? Employees are people.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a coach for a while. You've had a few businesses. You had a lot going on. What are some tidbits or some tricks of the trade that you would recommend to people who are considering, let's just say, someone that was considering starting a business? If your best friend say, hey, Allison, I'm thinking of starting a business, what would you tell me?
I would say a couple of things. I'd say the most common thing that I see people who decide to start a business doing is that they don't really have a plan. And so you don't need, like, you know, a 100-page business plan. I'm not suggesting that.
Sure.
But actually having some written goals and sort of a longer view of what it is that you think you're trying to create will help you get there going so much faster.
Sure.
So one, have a plan. Two, understanding what your strengths are, or as an individual, like as the owner, and doing your very best to quickly identify ways to leverage out the things that you're just not very good at.
Sure.
I think the kiss of death for most businesses is that we never take off hats that are no longer serving us.
Yes, more plates to spin, right?
Mindset,
sure.
Right? For the scarcity mindset of, I don't think I can afford that.
Sure.
And I can prove over and over and over again that in logical, smart, small steps, we can afford to do anything.
Sure.
And then I think I would be remiss if I didn't say that I think the one thing that any business owner should do is get a coach as soon as they can afford one. Mm-hmm. And I know that seems self-serving, and I don't mean it that way. You know, for us, right?
Sure.
But having someone who is been through, is capable of helping you get where you're going faster, so much faster than if you were to try to trial and error it on your own.
Sure.
Obviously hiring someone who works for your personality, but my business wouldn't be where it is today without the help of my coaches.
Sure.
For sure.
Right. Down. I totally agree with that. Yeah. It's interesting.
And getting an employee.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't really have a business unless you have a team.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned getting a coach, because my first business when I started my first business, 2006, so I think I had a coach in the neighborhood, 2007, 2008, something like that. And that was a train wreck. Just because, from my personal opinion, or just looking at the math, that coach didn't have my best interest in mind. Coaches since then, I was new to the business, and I didn't necessarily know what I needed or didn't know. I had no idea what I knew.
Right.
I had no idea what I didn't know. Probably more of the latter. the whole employee thing, I thought I had that figured out. I totally did not. Anyways, there were some coaches that were not great that I've dealt with, and there's other coaches that were insanely helpful. Just, like, I don't even know. I suppose they're like a daycare provider. There's no way that you could possibly pay them what they're worth. They've helped, you know what I mean?
Right.
I say daycare because I never know.
Absolutely.
Like, daycare can't be too expensive, but they're also taking care of your kids. So what is the value of that?
Right. So you can run your business, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally true.
Right.
Let's now shift into you from personal level. How did your husband or fiance at the time, I suppose, feel when you said, hey, I'm going to start my business or start a business?
So when I told him that I was going to open a coaching practice, he said, oh, what is that?
What is that?
So I tried to explain it.
Okay.
And he said, that sounds awful.
Awful. All right.
Yeah. He said, that sounds awful. He's like, how do you know you'll even like that? And I'm like, I just, it's what I already do. That's what I recognize. And he's like, oh, yuck.
So he said that because he didn't think that you would enjoy it, or he doesn't think that he would enjoy it?
He doesn't think that he'd enjoy that. That would be like, you know, him coming in and saying, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'd be like, oh, that sounds awful.
It totally does sound awful. Interesting. That's cool.
That was his reaction. It was like suggesting I was opening a restaurant.
Sure. All right. All right. So
he is by far my biggest cheerleader in every way. You know, lucky to have that. So
sure.
He's come a long way around on it.
Nice. Well, that's very cool. So was this before or after the wedding?
This was after the wedding. So,
after the wedding.
When we moved to Boise, we got married back east and then moved here.
Oh, nice. So he's like, wait a second, I didn't sign up for this.
True.
But it worked out. It worked out. It's all good.
He's been the first. He's, as all this good business owners need is someone saying, you're working too hard. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I think in that sense, you have to put a love into your baby when it's launching. And, you know, he pointed that out a lot. Like,
sure.
Could you just, you know, put that down? I'm like, okay.
No, I can't. No, it's so much fun. I understand what you're saying. It's always on, always on.
Yeah.
You got to learn to turn it off sometimes. I want to ask you in regards to challenges of starting your business, because I imagine it wasn't all rainbows and unicorns. So what were some of the biggest challenges you had with opening your business?
I think the confidence in that it was that first decision, I think. So, yes, I'm going to do this.
Mm.
Because I had 100 million reasons why I could just make some, you know, a solid good six-figure income just as soon as the government was going to open back up, right?
Sure.
You know, like the whole commercial market would let loose and I would miss out on these VP jobs that, you know, so the mindset around it's just easier to work for someone else, and I get it.
Sure.
Because sometimes I think it might be. So once I was all in, I'd say my biggest challenges were just making sure that I built credibility, because there were a lot of our market specifically here was still going through they weren't rebounding from the downturn of the economy. So
oh, sure.
2013, they were still not a confident city. And in the downturn, a ton of people opened up solo coaching practices. So I truly was a dime a dozen.
Sure. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Everywhere I went, I ran into someone who was a business coach. Like, I thought I'd chosen something so uniquely me. And then my first networking event that I brought my shiny new business cards to,
sure.
The first 10 people I met were a coach of some sort.
Oh, no. And you probably felt like a mortgage broker.
Seriously, I kind of felt that way. And I went home and said, I've made a big mistake.
Sure.
I don't know how I'm going to set myself apart. So the upward struggle, I'd say that I feel like everyone needs to go through is to show up, to be consistent, to be congruent with what I was saying, and to basically give, knowing that something that it would come back to me in return. And
sure.
So going about it, my husband makes fun of me in a very abundant way. Like, I did a lot of complimentary coaching to just get people to say, like, I did what she said and that was amazing and it helped me.
Sure.
And grow it from there.
Sure.
So living without a paycheck for a while.
Sure.
Is the way that I would say was, but feeling so rewarded by doing it that way too.
No, I completely silly. Understand. I had to run that same journey, and we location where I'm at in Madison, you could argue there's still some people I deal a lot with construction companies and stuff like that. They still have that what if 2008, 2009, whatever happens again.
Comes again.
In the back of their head, which they may not necessarily be wrong, but I doubt it. At least I hope it doesn't happen that bad again.
If they wait long enough, it'll be true again.
Sure, yeah, but there's this lack mentality that's very common. I'm like, that was a long time ago, and if you don't pick yourself up, there's other businesses that are. They'll just take the business that you're gonna have.
Correct.
So yep. That's a thing. These are just a few fun questions that I have for business owners. So let's just have fun with these, right? What is your least favorite thing about owning a business?
My least favorite thing about owning a business is reconciling my credit card statements.
Oh.
That would rank up there, even though I love looking at the finances, like entering, like the cross-referencing the detail and
sure.
all, you know. So I do still do that. It is an area that I'm just good at, but I don't love it. If
sure.
that makes sense.
Sure. Totally does.
And then outside of that, I'd say if I were to give you my second least favorite,
mm-hmm.
Is managing other people's expectations.
Man, you got to elaborate on that.
And it comes from all angles, right?
Okay.
Of what people expect. So just always outlining the expectations, whether it be employees or, you know, members of the community or
sure.
friends and whatnot. I mean, in conversations, I feel like people are like, so what's your coaching advice on this? I'm like, we're having wine.
My coaching advice. You want to pay for a session? We can totally help you out.
You know, so I kind of joke at that, but it's just managing, like being a resource, but also knowing when it's not welcome.
Sure.
Right? So not trying to coach when someone goes, I just wanted you to listen.
Oh, I have that problem with my wife almost on a daily basis. Don't tell me a problem if you don't want a solution.
Right. So I'd say those are my two.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing the most expensive mistake that you have made in business? Whether this business or even the businesses that you had before, the most expensive mistake that you made.
Sure. I have made so many.
Oh, we all have. It's all good.
So I will just share this quick story because I think this is the one that my mind feels the most guilty about and I still haven't done anything about. So I haven't resolved it.
Sure.
While I was at my certification training in the opening of my business, I got trained by a very, very, very successful master coach who was selling a financial platform,
mm-hmm.
And it was just today, right here, right now, $5,000. It'll do all this magic. It'll do everything you need it to do.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, great, a financial mastery tool. That's going to be one of the biggest things that we have. And you know, like I know every business is going to need this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I downloaded it. It's archaic. It's not CDs. It was not as functional, and it was like it was literally as if I just kind of put a $5,000 pile in the middle of a table and just kind of set it on fire.
No. All right. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. We've all been there.
I could have done a lot of marketing with that.
Sure. Sure. I totally understand what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, just trusting someone who goes like, this is what you need, and no, I wasn't ready for it.
Sure.
And then I didn't know how to use it, and then, you know, so forth.
Right. So, interesting.
People just want an Excel. Could you give me that in an Excel? I'm like, no. I can't. You have to give me everything, and then I enter everything.
Right.
It's silly.
Interesting. It's silly. Oh, that's good times.
And it makes me upset still.
I can probably, because this person was someone that you consider to be honest and full of integrity, and when you get a product like that, they're not.
Yep.
So, yeah, I totally understand that. Yeah, I've been duped before like that. What is your favorite thing about owning a business?
I have finally been able to create really a vehicle that, and like I like to say, that not only gives you a living, but also gives you a life.
Sure.
So we have traveled to 8 different countries in the last 5 years, and I attend conferences. I love to learn from the best.
Sure.
And so I've been trained by some of the world's best business coaches and authoritarians in their sectors in business. So just the ability to invest back in myself, knowing that that's what I get to bring and give value to my clients over.
Sure.
So a control of that. And I get to work 4 days a week for the most part.
Nice.
So I've designed a practice that's Monday through Thursday.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. It is. It's pretty nice. I have to admit.
Sure. That's cool. That is cool. I just have a couple more questions. We're going to try to squeeze these in here. Can you tell me about the relationship that you have with some of your competitors?
Super collaborative in a lot of ways. For example, I put on a leadership conference this past October,
mm-hmm.
and I had four very, very highly well-respected coaches run and lead breakout sessions.
Oh, nice.
Because I alone couldn't do it, and I wanted to kind of tee up lots of different areas of expertise, and so they came in, they pitched in, so I'm a collaborator.
Very cool.
I would have 20 coaches on my team if I could, figure out how to, make that all happen.
Sure.
But I appreciate that everyone brings a different perspective and what coaching has done for me. So, and then there's a lot of, people I wouldn't collaborate with as well. And so it's just knowing who to surround yourself
mm-hmm.
with in a collaboration setting.
That's fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I have for you is what do you measure to determine success in your business?
I say that my marker is impact.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
And I measure impact in a lot of different ways. So one of my goals is provide education to 2,500 leaders every single year. And that happens in a whole bunch of different ways.
Sure.
I like to think it's bigger than that. But when I actually say we had 250 people at this event, I'm speaking to 350 people at that event, I held 14 workshops at 20, people each, it adds up over time. And
yeah.
So that's what I aim at.
That is very cool.
So impact.
I like that.
Thank you.
Clever, clever, clever. Allison, this has been awesome. You have shared a ton with us, and I have to admit that an hour went by crazy fast. So hopefully you had good fun.
It did. I did. Thank you. Yes, very much so.
So if a listener wanted to reach out to you, what would be the best way?
I would encourage them to find me on LinkedIn and or at www.deliberatedirections.com or Allison Dunn on LinkedIn are my two, my two go-tos.
Awesome. Cool. Allison, I appreciate you being on the show. Hopefully you had fun and the listeners learned a lot here. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country, on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business, on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Allison Dunn, CEO and executive coach at Deliberate Directions. You can find her at deliberatedirections.com. Allison, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a blast.
Thank you, James. It has been fun.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as sunprairiemediacenter.com.